Have you guys felt like there's been some people in the darkness conspiring against us to make us compliant? Can I get an amen? You guys agree a little bit like that? I'm tired of people telling me what I can and can't do. We live in a country with red, white, and blue, and we should be able to choose our freedoms. But there are people in the darkness that are conspiring to make us compliant.
Arise, champion. This is the world famous Steve Weatherford Show, where each week we bring you stories, messages, and guests to create massive breakthroughs in your life. Somebody say greatness. This show has been strategically designed to accelerate you, to thrust you to the next level. Greatness is in you because greatness made you. And we're going to help you get into the center of God's calling for your life. Arise, champion. Nothing can be denied the one that won't be denied. The question is, how bad do you want it? Turn the speakers up. Call a friend and tell them Steve Weatherford is on.
What's up, guys? This episode is brought to you by my good friend, Pure Spectrum CBD. Pure Spectrum CBD is committed to cultivating and crafting the highest quality hemp-derived products and CBD products on the market. They're also the U.S. Olympic sponsor. And I've tried tons of these different products, from the bath salts to the tinctures, and none of them even come close to the pain management, the recovery, and the sleep performance that I've gotten from Pure Spectrum CBD. My deep REM sleep has gone up 28%. By comparison to 13 months ago, and I track it every single day with my Whoop band. I feel more rested, I feel more recovered, and that's what really gives me that edge to run three different businesses, to coach entrepreneurs, to hit the gym like a savage, and still have enough in the tank to really come through powerfully as a husband and as a father. So if you're looking to gain an edge in your day, Pure Spectrum CBD is my go-to choice to perform at my highest level. Visit purespectrumcbd.com today and make sure that you use promo code Weatherford, because that'll get you 10% off of your order at checkout. That's purespectrumcbd.com using promo code Weatherford at checkout. Enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Man, it's probably been quite a while since you've heard my voice. Man, and I just want to start out first off by just apologizing to everybody out who has formed a habit of tuning in every single Tuesday for our podcast release. And upon that apology, let me tell you why. If you guys follow me on social media, then you've seen everything that's been going on in our life. And my wife and my five kids, soon to be six kids, have moved from San Diego, California to Frisco, Texas. We made that decision, and 37 days later, we had everything packed up and moved our entire life from San Diego, California. And we missed our church, we missed our friends, but we just truly believed that God was calling us to this place. And it wasn't to escape the liberals or the taxes or anything like a lot of people maybe on social media might be thinking. It's because there was a man that came back into my life literally exactly 2 years ago. His name is Keith Kraft, and he's been mentoring me and coaching me in life, in business, in marriage over the past 18 months. And we really felt like in order for us to fulfill God's calling on our life, in order for us to establish what the main thing was in our life, that living here and having proximity to Keith Kraft and being able to plug into Elevate Life Church here in Frisco, Texas was going to be the most advantageous place for us to fulfill God's calling on our life. And it was crazy because my wife is, as I make this podcast right now, she is going to give birth to our new son in 9 days. So by the time this podcast comes out, it's probably going to be like more like 4 or 5 days. So man, I'm just praying and believing that everything is going to go well and that my son is going to be born and he's going to be big and he's going to be strong and he's going to be everything that my wife is hoping and praying that he will be. And because Keith Kraft has played such a major role in my life, and you're actually going to hear during this podcast just how much of an impact that he's had and how he's left just a divine fingerprint, not just on me, but on my son and my family. And my wife has agreed to let us name our son, our sixth child, in his honor. And his name will be, are you ready for this, Kingston Kraft Weatherford. And we're just so proud, so happy, and feeling so blessed because after we had our fifth child, I remember closing my eyes and just, you know, listening to the giggles and the laughs and sometimes the screams, but the little pitter-patter of the footsteps in my house. And I remember closing my eyes and feeling like, for the first time, like my whole family had arrived, but my wife just had on her heart that she just wanted another son so bad. And honestly, this son that we're about to have is a little bit of a miracle, because my wife was to the point where she's like, man, if we have another daughter, I'm going to be so depressed, because she had four in a row and she never pictured herself as being the mother to daughters, as many as we have at least. And she was contemplating going and getting her eggs taken and getting my sperm spun to where we could like genetically select having a son. And we decided not to do that. As God would have it, man, he gave us that son. So for lack of a better word, man, it's been a really stressful 4 weeks, because as soon as we got everything here to Texas, 3 days later, we hosted an online virtual summit called the CEO of Your Life. And I had some of my friends come on and share of their insights and how they're able to keep the main thing the main thing. How are they able to build business, build family, build marriage? Had friends like Dr. Oz, Jesse Itzler, Ed Milet, Michael Strahan come on and share. And we had over 4,000 people join us. And it was an amazing event, but there was so much time and resources and advertising and marketing that went into getting 4,000 people to show up to hear this message. And that happened over 2 days. And we had like 3 days off. And, you know, during those 3 days off, we're unpacking boxes. And I'm doing my best to support my wife. To be honest with you, man, I'll just keep it real with everybody. I haven't been the husband and the father that, you know, in my heart that I wanted to be, because of all of the craziness that's been going on. There's no shame and guilt there. It's just, I know it. I know that I haven't been that just because of everything that's going on. 3 days later, we hosted our very first Upgrade Your Human event here in Texas. And we actually hosted it out in the middle of nowhere in Rice, Texas. If anybody knows where that is, if you do know where that's at, you're a freaking hillbilly. But it was awesome. We had a 500-acre farm that we rented, and we created this Spartan course to take 25 people through, and really Upgrade Your Human is an opportunity for us to get in the space with people and really focus in on that physical pillar of our life. A lot of human optimization. We did Wim Hof breathing training. We did adversity training, mindset and mental training. Then we also took them through some cold plunge training, and that was awesome. But you know, there's definitely a physical component of that where it really wears you out. Then the day after that, we had our King's Council Upper Room, which is our legacy leadership business development mastermind. And then the day after that, so that was like my first 7 days in Texas. And then after that, I woke up and just feeling like extraordinarily fatigued, and I had this rash under my arm, and I was like, I wonder what the heck this is. Like 2 or 3 days went by just feeling terrible, not able to train, not really able to eat. Come to find out, I asked my wife, I'm like, what is this? Because there were like blisters under my arm. I go to the emergency room and I had shingles. And I don't know if anybody knows what shingles are, but it's essentially when you're experiencing so much stress in physically and mentally in your life that your body just shuts down. And this continued on for like 2 weeks, and I lost 19 pounds. So I went from like 240 some pounds to I'm a smooth, sleek, limp 224 pounds right now. And actually, as I'm recording this podcast, this is really the first time that I've actually felt well. But it didn't stop me from hosting a live event about 4 days ago, where we did a live in-person CEO of Your Life event. We had 100 people come in from all over the country, and it was just an amazing experience for us to really dig into people's lives and to help them get clear on what matters most to them, to get them clear, concise goals in their marriage, in their business, in their physical fitness, in their emotional development, and in their spiritual development. It's like my favorite thing to do. But it requires, you know, it requires resources, it requires time, it requires money, it requires energy. And one of the first things I do at those CEO of Your Life events is I share my testimony. And to be honest with you, man, I was actually really disappointed with how I was able to give that this past Monday. And granted, I had like a really good excuse. I mean, I'd lost 19 pounds, I hadn't really been able to eat a full meal in over 3 weeks. But still, I just had a really nasty taste in my mouth because I wasn't able to be what I'm capable of being, even though I had an excuse. I still wasn't able to be what I wanted to be for the King of Kings. And that's really been weighing on me. And then 3 days later, which was last night, I was invited by Ryan Stuman, a really good friend of mine, and he put together this $1 million mastermind. This happens once a year, and he had 600 entrepreneurs from all over the country. And I was actually the very last speaker. And I had some anxiety going into it because of what went on Monday, where I wasn't able to be my best. And so I'm just really thankful for my team, my kingdom partner, Riley Meek, Scott Thomas, and all the other brothers that showed up that were in that crowd to support me and pray for me before the event. And man, the praise report is out of those 600 people, there was over 40 people, and it was a secular event, over 40 people said yes to the invitation to receive Jesus Christ into their heart. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, because that's something, to me, it's great as we're building up the King's Council, which is our legacy leadership business coaching. But more important than that, when I get to heaven, I know that God is not going to ask me, hey, Steve, how many people did you get to join the King's Council? And how many people did you get to have, you know, amazing breakthroughs in 2 and 3 and 4xing their business and possibly fixing their marriage? That's important, right? But at the end of the day, God is going to ask me, how many people did I share the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ, that he sent here to this earth? And I'm just very proud of our team. I'm very proud of myself, if I can say that, just for the adversity that we'd been through and the perseverance and the resilience that we showed. And God really, really spoke through me last night. So I wanted to share that. So that's really kind of the update in the last 4 weeks. And I apologize if I just really kind of fire hosed all you guys with everything that happened, but I wanted you to understand why I wasn't able to be what I'm committed to being for you and sharing, you know, amazing guests and amazing teachings on this podcast. And I am committed for the rest of the year at minimum to share at least one podcast with you all. And the one that I want to share with you this week is the first time that I ever felt like I was able to truly share my full testimony from start to finish well, you know. And it has taken a lot of reps and a lot of failing forward and a lot of just making mistakes and maybe not getting it right. But at the end of the day, this is the most important story that I will ever tell. And so what you guys are going to have a chance to listen to today is from a conference about 2 months ago. I was invited to be the keynote speaker for an event in Decatur, Georgia called the I Am For Conference, which is a Christian conference for men who was put on by a mentor of mine. His name is Ivy Marsh. He's a man that's played such a big role in my development as a husband. Specifically, his wife and Ivy have been mentoring us in marriage for us to reach our next level of communication, our next level of clarity for the God calling that we have on our life. And in order for me to go out and inspire and move people to make changes and to get clear on what's most important, I needed to make sure that I was clear on what was most important to me, and not just teaching it when I leave the house, but actually teaching it and being it in my own home for my own wife. And man, if you can't make change at home, there's no way that you're going to be able to make permanent. You're going to help other people to make permanent changes in their life. So I appreciate you guys. And I'm praying and believing that this testimony that I shared today is really going to speak to you in regards to addictions, in regards to identity, and in regards to alignment. So again, I just want to thank our sponsor, the CEO of Pure Spectrum. His name is Brady Bell, and they've been sponsoring our show for about a year, and they've just been incredibly supportive. And I just wanted to thank those guys again. And if you haven't gone to Pure Spectrum, CBD.com. Go there and check them out. You guys will hear about it in my testimony, but I struggled with addictions, mainly Percocets, because of a surgery and an injury I had in the NFL. And I, as soon as I got off of those Percocets because of the pain, I ended up burning a hole through my stomach because of the anti-inflammatories and the over-the-counter medication Advil and Aleve that I was taking. And Pure Spectrum has been a game changer for me, not just for my focus and for my deep REM sleep, but also for pain management. So if you're struggling with your recovery, if you're struggling with your focus, if you're struggling with your sleep, I would definitely look into that. They've got the one that I take is actually Black Label 2500, and I take 2 droppers of that at night. And they also have a muscle rub that is a game changer. So if you got a sore back, man, definitely look into that. And to use code Weatherford for a discount. With that being said, man, I hope this show blesses you. I appreciate you guys being patient for me to deliver this. And without further ado, enjoy the show.
I want you guys to have a seat, because there's going to be a time for you to stand up. And I'm not a preacher. And Pastor Ivy, you're right, man. I am so on fire for Jesus. I am so honored to be here. And I just wanted to honor some people before I got rolling. The first one would be Wojo. Wojo, I love you, man. Thank you for being a supporter for me. Tevin, my right-hand man. Kyle Jones flew in, always here to support me. Starla, Ivy's assistant, for getting me here, because I know I'm hard to handle, and my business partner, Riley. So I wanted to honor those people, but I also wanted to honor this worship team, man. Can you guys give them a hand? Man, my spirit is ready for transformation, and I'm supposed to be the one that's bringing something. So worship team, unbelievable. And lastly, I would just love to honor you, IV, man. Thank you for being there for me at the specific time that God said, Steve, you're going to need somebody to run this race with, man. So thank you for being that for me. And same for B'nai. I know you're in here somewhere. About 6 months ago, man, I hit a rough patch in my marriage, like real rough. And I didn't know where to go. I didn't know which way was up. IV and B'nai stood in the gap for me, man, like in a major, major way. So I honor you, man. I honor you. I stand in agreement with you, IV, that God does have like a God calling on my life. But how's he going to tear us down in here, men? How's he going to tear us down? A house divided cannot stand. So you know he's coming at my marriage, man. I know he's coming at so many of your marriages before you guys even stepped inside of this room, because spiritual attack is real, man. And God knows, and the devil knows that there is breakthrough in the name of Jesus in this room, man. So, about an hour and a half ago, I actually asked the technology team, I'm not so good at the interwebs, but I asked the tech team if they would be able to, can you put a picture of my family up there? Yay! Come on, man, God is so good. So this is my beautiful family. This is my wife for 14 years, man. She's been married to this for 14 years. That's my son. My son is, his name is Ace. He's 13 years old. He is my beloved son in whom I am so well pleased. He is my legacy. Next you'll see my daughter above my shoulder. That's Carney. She's 11 years old. And man, dude, the spirit is on her so thick. Like God gives her dreams and it's just like, it's amazing. Then you've got Rara on the far left here. That is like my wife's twin and like, she's never gonna leave me, man. She's never gonna leave me. And then next to her, you have Josie with the big bright smile. She's 5 years old. And then next to her, this is the one that I'd like to talk to you about. This one right here. And a couple of you guys that might follow me on social media, that's Golden Grace. So she's got a little bit of a fan club. And so I'm gonna tell you a little story about Golden Grace about August of last year. So she was a 2.5 years old at the time, creeping on three. You guys know the terrible twos. There's probably some dads in here. And we could not, I mean, there's five of us, right? We could not get her to fall in line. So we had four kids and they're all just like compliant. They understand our core principles and our values. And we're installing a lot of the things that IV and my mentor, Pastor Keith Kraft, is teaching me. And it's working. Not for that one. Not at all. So we had a team meeting. And we said, you know what? All right, Goldie, go do something. And so we sat down with our family. It was myself, my wife, my son, and my two other daughters, or three other daughters. And we sat down. We said, all right, guys, we got to come up with a plan because this one is not fitting into the rest of the group. This one is different. And so what we did was we conspired to make her compliant to the way that we wanted to do things. And so the way that we did that is I live in California now, and I'm actually about to move to Texas in about 18 days, and I'm about to have another son. You can't tell there, but she's got another baby in there, and I'm having another son. I don't want to derail myself. Kingston Craft Weatherford, and that's in 69 days. So I got a lot to be thankful for, and I tell you what, man, this is where I feel like God brings me alive the most is when I am in a room with mighty men. So thank you, guys. So we'll get back to the story about Goldie. So we conspired to get her to be compliant, and so we made up this story that the Grinch, you guys all know the Grinch, right? And at about 2.5 years old, the Jim Carrey version of it, when he's got like the really long, skinny fingers and the really gnarly teeth, and she's scared to death of him. So we convinced her, we conspired in the darkness to convince her that the Grinch lived like right above our house on this bluff. And every time that she would cry or every time that she would do something she wouldn't do, we'd be like, everybody in the family would be like, the Grinch sees you and he's gonna come down off of that mountain and he's gonna come into your room. He's gonna have those long fingers and those little gnarly teeth. And he's gonna get you. And it was like, boom, just like that. We were compliant. or she was compliant, she'd hop right back in. If she ever kind of clicked out, we'd remind her the Grinch. And the reason I mentioned that to you, what has 2020 been like? Have you guys felt like there's been some people in the darkness conspiring against us to make us compliant? Can I get an amen? You guys agree a little bit like that? I'm tired of telling me what I can and can't do. We live in a country with red, white, and blue, and we should be able to choose our freedoms. But there are people in the darkness that are conspiring to make us compliant. So there's a scripture that I'd like to read from you guys, and it's in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm just believing in the name of Jesus and in this space that we're in right now, that God is going to move, that he's going to renew your mind, because there are so many patterns that the world puts on us. And when we come into a place like this, an anointed place where Holy Spirit is free to move, rule, and reign, come with great expectation, men. Last thing I'd like to say, and then I'd like to pray and really get into this thing. It's from Joel 3:9. And a pastor friend of mine, Paul Cole, actually texted me this morning because he knew how excited I was for this. I was supposed to be here last year, brother. God wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. You know what I mean? God was ready. I wasn't ready. So it got delayed because people were working in the darkness, conspiring to keep us from coming into a place like this. So Joel 3:9 says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. And let all fighting men draw near and attack. So bow your heads, guys, because I'm coming here with great expectation that Holy Spirit is going to use me to get into your heart. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. Just move, Holy Spirit. We're praying and believing for a renewing. We're praying and believing that old things walked in and new things are going to walk out. We're praying and believing that identities are going to shift. And we're praying and believing that the hearts of the sons of God, we're going to be shifted in this room today. We're praying and believing all these things in the mighty, most perfect, undefeated name of Jesus Christ. And if you're believing with me, say amen. Amen. All right, guys, so I've got notes up here because I've got extreme ADHD, and I want to make sure that I keep myself on the rails. But what I want to talk to you guys today is about how God did a new thing in me, about God, how transformed me, and how 3 years ago I was putting drugs up my nose. But God did such a mighty thing in me that Pastor Ivy Martz thought it a good idea to put me on the stage, to jump this thing off. Because he knew what God did in me, and he saw how I've been doing the training, and he's been giving me the reps to execute. So the reason I mentioned that to you guys is we're going to talk about identity. Because there was a lot of years where, like, I knew what, like, everybody said was the right thing to do, but I didn't feel valuable. And it all really started for me. My story starts at like 5 years old. And it was then that I realized, like, just how different I am. Like, how many of us in the crowd right now, just sitting in the seat that you're in, have felt like an alien, like different, like you don't fit in. Like you might not fit in your family. You might not fit in your friends. You might feel like you're sitting in the seats right now, like you guys don't fit in here. I get it. When I was 5 years old, it didn't take long with extreme ADHD to go to school. And for the first 5 days in a row, and this was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where they still had the paddles. 5 days in a row, man, they are wearing my tail feathers out. Every single day, you get sent to the principal's office. And I started to hate myself, guys, because I had an older brother, I had a younger brother, I had a younger sister. They were all compliant. They would go to Sunday school and nobody would get in trouble. And I got sent out, I got kicked out of Sunday school. That's how, like, turned up I was. And so, like, years of that, like, going and just realizing, we'd go on, like, you know, family trips in the station wagon. My mom used to have these jars of quarters. And every time you got in trouble, they'd pull a quarter out. By the time, and the ultimate destination and goal was get to this place called Boomtown. Any of you guys from, like, Missouri area, you've heard of Boomtown? Yeah. Hey, okay, we got some Boomtown fans. I never bought anything at Boomtown, cuz. What was it like? Could you tell me? It was like the 15 minutes we got to go in there and use the bathroom, and then my brothers and my sisters were like, dang, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna get that, I'm gonna get that. I'm like, I'm gonna play with as many toys as I can in 15 minutes, because when we leave, I can't take any of them with me. And I started to hate myself. And then at about 8 years old, I found something that people celebrated me for. Anytime I stepped into the arena of, like, basketball or track or soccer or anything that required fast movements, endurance, and quick decision making, that's where I felt celebrated. But I didn't feel celebrated by my dad. And I want to make this real clear at the beginning of this, because I feel like I'm speaking to the hearts of the sons of God right now. And to get this thing straight, I had a great dad. I had great parents, but I was after something and I needed my daddy to give me something that he just wasn't, he wasn't able to be able to give me. All the parents validated me. Like after the game, they'd be like, man, Steve, you're so amazing. You scored 3 goals and, you know, our whole other team only scored 1. Like, you're so amazing. I remember being celebrated and feeling valuable and deciding in that moment, I'm only valuable when I'm winning. I'm only valuable when I'm playing sports, because that's the only place that I'm even tolerated. And matter of fact, I'm celebrated. And everywhere else I go, I'm only tolerated. And so that went on until about 11 years old. And then somebody came into town, event kind of similar to this. It's called a power team event. You guys, anybody know the power team? God bless the power team. They came into my city in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Tacoma Baptist Church, and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. But it was the first time, because my dad was a Christian, you know, we took us to church and everything, but everybody that went to church with me dressed and acted like my dad. I like to call them like khaki-wearing Christians, and I honor my father, but he wasn't somebody that, he didn't look like IV, you know what I mean? He didn't look like a pro wrestler. He didn't inspire me like Macho Man Randy Savage. How many of you guys loved wrestling growing up? Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? Like the ultimate, when you said the ultimate warrior, I'm like, man, that was my dog. But here is a, like a Macho Man Randy Savage / Hulkamania, and he's in a church, and he's got handcuffs, and he's doing some of the most unbelievable physical feats, cuz, that I have ever seen in my life. I mean, not one pair of handcuffs. He brought a cop from the back, and he said, bring 2 pairs of handcuffs. And he stands up here, and he's like, you think I can do it, Garrett? In the name of Jesus, boom! And he would bust these things, and he would hold these things up. And here I am, I'm 11 years old, dude, and I'm like this. Oh my God! And as soon as he got done and he did like these physical feats, he would stand up and he said, in the name of Jesus. He didn't say, in the name of Hulkamania, buy my programs, buy my t-shirts, take my vitamins and say your prayers. No, he didn't need us to buy anything. He was actually selling something that was completely free. And it was in that moment I received Jesus Christ at a power team concert. But it wasn't like, believe me, the story gets way better. It wasn't like 11 years old. And then we went to the Super Bowl and it was amazing. No, bro, this thing gets bloody. There's sex addiction, there's porn, there's pills. There's a lot of heinous stuff that I carried a lot of shame and a guilt around. And like I said, I got saved at 11. And then the attack came. 12 years old. My teacher thought it would be a good idea to do a thing to me. It didn't take long, less than a year, and I'm up against something that's so much bigger than me. You want to talk about shame and guilt? You want to talk about 12 years old? I can't be like Keith Kraft. I can't be big and strong, dude. Some guy just did a thing to me that made me feel not good, made me feel useless, made me feel dirty. It was tough. So I couldn't go back to church. I couldn't like live that way. Yeah, I'm that guy. I got napkins in my pocket. I'm a crier. Deal with it. So I'll lighten things up a little bit and take you guys into high school. And this story actually kind of has nothing to do with my testimony, but it's funny. And I feel like I need to laugh a little bit right now after that. But it's how I actually played football for the very first time, because when I started high school, dude, I was 108 pounds. I was 5'8", so it wasn't like I was like a little midget. I was just tall and I was skinny, but I was a great soccer player and I was a really good athlete, you know? And I'll never forget it. Our high school coach, his name was Wayne Staley. And like, at this point I live in Indiana and football is like the biggest deal. If you get to wear a jersey to school on Friday, how many of you guys got to wear a jersey to school on Friday? I was so jealous of you guys, man. So the kicker and the punter graduated. So Wayne Staley comes onto the soccer field, which, mind you, Wayne Staley never came to the soccer field. You know, it was like fairyland. So You know, he's got like that old school. And actually, my coach, this just tell you what kind of guy he is. He got arrested for poaching deers while he was drunk. This is the kind of, so he kind of like walks over to the soccer field, chewing his tobacco. Hey, coach. And he would like talk to the soccer coach like he was like less than human. Come here. He's like, you got any guys on this team that got a strong leg? And the coach is like, yeah, I do. He said, 3 fields over, he's over there doing kickoffs. So he walks over there. And he gets about a field and a half over, and he looks back at the coach. And I'm learning this story later, and he goes, this one? And the coach is like, yeah, just keep going. He walks over. And he asks me, he goes, kick that ball. And he's like, well, where do you want me to kick? He goes, as far and high as you can. And it was like a bomb exploding. Boom! And he walked over, he goes, he'll do. So then I go to soccer practice like 30 minutes later. Now, mind you, they're like trying to find pads small enough to fit a midget peewee. So they put pads on me way too big. And they put this helmet on me. And I walk out to practice. I looked like a golf tee with a golf ball on top of it. It was bad. And it gets worse. So then I'm back here. I'm 14 years old. My nuts barely dropped. So he's like, kicking field goals ain't that tough. He's like, there's no goalie, the ball's not moving, and you just have to kick it in between that H. I'm like, no big deal. So I get in there with varsity, and I'm like, oh my God, these are the guys that wear jerseys to school on Friday. Instantly just got overcome with anxiety and fear, and I'm back here about to kick my first field goal, and the guy that snaps the ball to me, his name's Mike Canada, 275 pounds. I mean, this guy is a freaking beast. And he's the team captain, and he chews tobacco during football practice. Unbelievable. So he snapped, and he wanted nothing to do with me even before we started field goal section. He goes, Coach, really? This is embarrassing.
Coach Mike, just snap the ball.
So he snaps the ball, and our starting quarterback, he's like God at our school. He catches it, puts it down, and I get back here. I'm like, I'm going to get one of those jerseys for Friday. Boom! And it sounded exactly like the ball over there that I kicked, but it only got about 18 inches off of the ground, and it hit Mike Cannon in the left butt cheek. Hand to God, he chased me off of the field my very first field goal ever. That had absolutely nothing to do with my testimony, how Jesus came to live inside of me. I just thought we could do that. All right. So about a year into my field goal kicking and punting, it came natural to me because I had a really strong leg. You need to be big and strong. And I started to kick some distances that would 55 and 60 yard field goals at 15 years old. People were starting to say pros only kick at 55 or 60. And so I started to have dreams. And I'll never forget on the way home from a practice, and I got in my dad's truck. And we're talking about identity tonight, right? And I jump in my dad's truck, and I'm just this little boy with this big dream. And I get in, and I wasn't protecting, and I just blurted it out. I said, Dad, one day, I'm going to go to the pros. I don't know what sport it is, but I'm going to go to the pros. And I'll never forget my dad in that S10 truck. And he didn't mean it. And I've actually shared this with him, and my dad doesn't even recall it. And he's shifting the gears. And I said, Dad, did you hear me? I'm going to go pro. He goes, that'll be the day. And he never even looked over at me. And the feelings that came over me, mind you, what happened to me when I'm 12, I'm desperate for my daddy. I am so desperate for my daddy. But then at that point, it really started for me this game, this dark game that I thought that I could earn my dad saying, you're valuable. I thought I could earn my dad being like, you're a good boy. I'm so proud of you. I thought that I could earn that. And so from about 15 years old through mid-20s, I'm just pounding achievements. Anything that I can do, any sport that I can play, I play. 4-sport All-State. And I remember doing something. No, you can't even play 4 sports in high school. I played soccer and football at the same time and then did basketball and track. And I did that because I thought that if I could do something nobody else can do and do something that my dad thinks I can't do, I'm proud of you. You've worked so hard. You deserve this. You're a good boy, Steve. I didn't get that at 18. So then I go to college, become all Big Ten at the University of Illinois, become an All-American. Well, that's not enough. Dad, are you proud? Am I a good boy? And nothing. So then I pick up track and field, Division I, Big Ten, and I become an All-American in that. Daddy, am I good? Am I enough? Still nothing. And I'm not saying this to like shame my father. My dad had a father just like he is. But I'm praying and believing that this house, in this room, we're going to bind and rebuke generational curses and self-limiting beliefs. That's why I'm here. So I have my college career, and I finished college and All-American. So there's a pretty good chance I'm at least going to get a shot in the NFL. And you guys know the NFL, like, they don't draft kickers and punters. You know, we're an afterthought of the afterthought. But I got an opportunity to go to the New Orleans Saints. And the offer that I got was to compete against a Pro Bowler, a guy that had gone to the Pro Bowl. He was the best in the world at what he did the year before. And I'm stepping into arena to try to take his job. 10-year NFL veteran, New Orleans Saints. And I'll never forget walking into the locker room. I'm number 7. Number 9, Drew freaking Brees. Almost crapped my pants. Then to the right, number 5. And you guys don't remember this, but when Reggie Bush first entered the league, he was number 5. So here I am in between Drew Brees and Reggie Bush. Dude, my little Peter went, whoop. But before I even got to training camp, if that wasn't bad enough when I got there, before I left, I remember talking to my dad. You know, I'm expecting, like, go get him, champion. I'm so proud of you. Whatever happens, I'm freaking pros, dude. You got a helmet. And he says, do you really think you can win? And those were like the parting words. He might have said something after that. But after I heard that, I was just like, because it had been 8 years of me proving it. I was a winner. Every place that I went, I won. Throw me a bone, Dad. Don't you love me? Am I good enough? Do you really think you can win? So I won. I freaking sent that Canadian packing. Mitch Berger. Freaking Mitch Berger. I hope Mitch Berger hears this too. See, Mitch Berger needs a little Jesus. And this, I wouldn't plan on telling this, but the night before we had like final, or actually it wasn't the night before final cuts. It was the night before he knew I had a drug test because he had been there for 7 seasons. So he knew the training staff and he knew that I was going to have a drug test the next day and I didn't know. He took me out to Hooters. This is a true story. Mitch Berger. What a jerk. Still can't believe this. I hope he hears this. He invited me to be a judge at the Hooters swimsuit contest. Dude, I'm in heaven, dude. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm in the pros, and the guy whose job I'm trying to take invited me to be a judge, and they're giving me all these beers. It's amazing. And then he takes me back to his apartment later that night. Sup? Man, you ain't got to worry about this, dude. We know when all the drug tests are coming. You want some? And that was the first time that I actually felt Holy Spirit say something to me. Run. He just said, run. So I turned around. I didn't even say anything to him. I walked out, and the very next day, had a drug test in my locker. Freaking Mitch Berger. So I took his job and sent him back to Canada. In Jesus' name. So then I made the team. I'm a freaking pro, right? Oh, Dad's going to be proud of me. Dad, I beat the guy you didn't think I could beat. Well, you know your contract's not guaranteed. Maybe if I play for 4 years, dude, because the league average is 3.1 years, and it's so hard to get to the pros, but that didn't do it. And maybe if I can play for longer than what the NFL league average is, you get to year 4, and then you're like, Dad, I did it. Am I good? Am I a good boy? Do you love me? Did I earn it yet? Nothing. Then I decide to myself, I'm like, well, I can't necessarily control if I'm a Super Bowl champion because I'm just a punter, but man, I can control what goes into my body. I can control what I do with my body. And so I said these words out loud. I said, I'm going to become the fittest man in the National Football League. And if you guys will notice, all these things that I'm achieving, they're not from me. They're absolutely not from me. I'm trying to achieve something outside of myself so somebody outside of myself can fill a hole that's inside of me. And so through all of this, we're talking about sex addiction. We're talking about porn addiction, because every time that my dad didn't even realize he's rejecting me, I had to go to something, and winning wasn't enough. So it was pills, it was porn, it was women, it was anything that would make those dopamine releases go off in my brain to where like I would forget about the shame and the guilt of what happened when I was 12 or the shame and the rejection of my dad never believing in me. Or maybe was that my dad's like sick way of motivating me. 28 years old, fittest man in the NFL. Dad, am I good? 29 years old, I decide, well, my dad's a Christian. He always took me to church and he loves Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't necessarily work for me, but what if I could be like Jesus? What if I could become the most philanthropic, most giving person, most generous person in the National Football League? They have an award for that, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And I got that one too. Daddy, am I good? I did things like Jesus. I was giving. I was generous. Do you love me? Am I good? Well, you were taking pictures of it and putting it all over Instagram. Were you really doing it for the people? I was looking for something from my father that he was ill-equipped to give me. I had a gaping hole inside of me that only God could fill. Only Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit could fill the thing I had inside of me. But I didn't know that yet. So then February 5th, 2012 came, 47 miles from my hometown. I'm 30 years old now. We're playing Tom Brady, New England Patriots, the mighty New England Patriots in Indianapolis. My mom's there, my dad's there, my son, my daughter, my wife, my grandma, my brothers, my sister. Everybody that I know is watching this game because they know I'm in it. I had the best game of my entire life. My very first punt from the 42-yard line didn't go to the 5, 4, 3-yard line. It went to the 2-yard line. It didn't bounce forward or backwards or sideways. That thing hit the 2-yard line, bounced straight up. My long snapper caught it in the very next play. Justin Tucker comes through and sacks Tom Brady in the end zone. And then he comes straight up to me after that play for the first 2 points of the Super Bowl. And he comes up to me on the sideline. He said, "That's because of you." And even that validation from my teammates, it still doesn't stick. Al Roker comes up to me after the game. Al Roker, dude, you guys know Al Roker. He doesn't talk to punters. He threw a microphone right in my face. And Al Michaels, like it's documented. At halftime, he says to Chris Collinsworth, he's like,
"Well, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but at halftime of the Super Bowl, I would give the MVP to the punter, Steve Weatherford."
Dude, if they would have told me he said that during the game, I think I would have passed out. So then we win the game, 21-17. The mighty New England Patriots go down, and the punter is the MVP. I only gave it to Eli, but I should have got it. It couldn't have been better, dude. I'm like, we won the game, and I'm looking, and I find my family. And I'll never forget pulling my son out of the stadium stairs, confetti's coming down. Al Roker's pulling my jersey because he wants to talk to me. There's freaking cameras everywhere. There's my dad. "Come on, Dad. Come on, come hold this trophy with me, Dad. Come on, man." And he holds the trophy. I give him the trophy before my wife. I give him the trophy before my son. And I'm like, "Boy, I'm gonna get it this time, man. That's really nice. Where's your grandma?" So we go to the after party, and I'm up there, you know, my wife. I always told my wife, just keep her with you guys. I'm like, "Babe, if we ever win the Super Bowl, I'm going to get so drunk." So I have my first beer, and she's like over the moon. She can't believe I did what I did, and we did what we did. And she goes to get me another beer, and she goes to hand it to me. She's like, "Here you go." And I'm like, "Baby, when I'm with you, I don't want to feel any different. Because everybody that was around me were telling me how great I was. And we look up on the TV, they're showing a punt on SportsCenter that went out of bounds at the 2-yard line. Like literally everything outside of me is telling me how great I am. But nobody knows what happened to me when I was 12. Nobody knows all the women that I took advantage of. Nobody knows all the drugs that went up my nose. Nobody knows all the drugs that I stole. Nobody knows all the lies that I told. They could never really love me." So that party gets over. And in the NFL, even if you win a Super Bowl, I found this out, your wife is not allowed to go back to your room. Like, nobody can go back to your room. So the first moment after becoming a world champion, I remember like opening the door and stepping into my hotel room. And it was the first moments I had alone. And I just hear some ruckus over at the window. And I'm on like the 17th floor. So I walk up, Circle City, Indiana. And I look down and you can't even see the floor. You can't see the road because there's so many people wearing NFL jerseys from all different teams. And they're having fun. They're high-fiving. They're taking shots. They're so happy. Their team didn't even win, most of the people. And here I am. I had the greatest game of my life and the biggest game of my life, 47 miles from where I went to school. And I remember taking a deep breath and looking at all these little people enjoying life the way that I've never been able to enjoy life. And I remember taking a deep breath and just getting like weak in my knees. Like, this is it. Like, there's no way it could get better. Like, I could never make my outside natural better. This is it. And I just remember depression, just a wave of depression. And I knew it was right then that, like, my days in the NFL were like, so numbered. Where do you go from there? Win another Super Bowl? It requires so much. And it was giving me so little. And so three seasons later, after 10 years in the NFL, winning a Super Bowl, franchise punter, you know, big contracts, empty, dude, 35 years old. And so I retired like way before a lot of people thought that I was going to retire. And I got straight into media. I accepted a job at ESPN. I had a TV show at Spike. I had a primetime radio show in New York City. Searching, dude. Like, God, what is it, man? Because it's not football. It's not my body. It's not being generous. What is it? Like, something's got to fill this hole or my dad's got to say a thing. And so I moved out to San Diego with my wife and at the time, four kids, just broken, addicted to pain pills. Like my marriage was, on Instagram, it looked pretty good, you know? On Instagram, it looked real good. But we were almost sleeping in other bedrooms. I mean, it was like two roommates in a night trying to raise four kids. And TV wasn't giving it to me. So we moved to San Diego. And I found a church called Awaken Church. And then I had not an experience. I had an encounter with God, like in the most supernatural way. And I'm believing that this space that we're in right now, Holy Spirit's here. And he wants to do a radical thing in your life. The same way he did a radical thing for me in the middle of the desert at Emerge. It was a men's conference, kind of similar to this. We're out in the middle of the desert. We're under this huge tent, like circus tent. And I'm sitting like in the middle back of it. And I actually had to have special permission at the time for my 11-year-old son to come. And it's the first men's conference that I've been to. Because mind you, like when my 10 years in the NFL, we didn't go to church on Sundays. That's when I worked. And so I'm super duper disconnected from church, from tribe. And then the encounter came. I'm sitting there in my seat next to my 11-year-old son. And this gray-haired guy walks up onto the stage and he's freaking stacked. And he actually, let me rephrase that. He didn't walk onto the stage. This dude at 61 years old jumped onto the stage. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Silverback, real recognized, real, bruh. That's why my hair looks like this. It's not because I'm California cool. I was trying them to go like silver. So when I came out here with a black thing on, I would look like a silverback for you guys. So this guy walks onto the stage. They give him a hug. They announce his name. And the moment that this dude speaks into the microphone, it was like the Holy Spirit hit my body with a lightning bolt. And it was like, whew. And I had no idea what it was. And I stood there and I'm thinking, who is this guy? And I asked the person next to me, what's his name? And I Google it. And then it pops up, Power Team. 25 years to the day, God put him back in my life when I needed him so bad. So when that happened, I'm like, oh, okay. So he got done speaking, he came off. And I'm like way back here in the back, right? So I'm back here. And as soon as he get done, like a mob of people, like go up to the stage. And so I'm grabbing dudes like this and I'm like, whoosh. And I get to the front and I'm like, Keith, You're never going to believe this. I got saved when I was 11 years old at the power team. And because of you, I decided that I'm going to lift weights and I'm going to get strong and I'm going to be generous and I'm going to be like Jesus and all these things. And thank you. And he's like, take my number. Let's talk after this. That's amazing. So then I walk back to my stage or walk back to my seat and I'm like, where's my son? I look back at the stage and my son just gave his life to Jesus because of Keith Craft. So you tell me God isn't real. You tell me, like when we say like, oh, Holy Spirit, move. Like you're saying like he's not always moving. He is an artist of timing. And my mentor, Keith Craft, the very man that brought salvation to me and brought my son salvation, he says this, when the right people get in the right place at the right time, the right things always happen. And I believe that you're the right people. And I believe this is the right time. And I believe that Epic Church and IM4 is the right place. God wants to do a thing in your life tonight. I found my identity that night. The porn, the pills. We carried a board on our back. And we were supposed to write our burdens down on it. I had so much shame for what happened to me when I was 12. Those drugs, they made it better. I had so much shame about the things that I've done when I was in college, when I had God's favor, but I was the MVP for the wrong team. And then I had an encounter. And I'm believing that tonight can be that encounter for you. I played in stadiums all over the world, packed with people. And their approvals were the only thing that mattered to me. Because there was a hole inside of me that I thought things outside of me could fix. And then somebody came into my life that gave me an opportunity to get filled up with the Holy Spirit, to have an encounter with God. So that when I'm dead, and I know that the next 60 years of my life, and that happened when I was 36, and if God will have me till I'm 90, and I know that the next 50 some years, I'm gonna be on fire for Jesus, because when I stand before him, when he pulls me up, he's gonna ask me, the time and the talents that I gave you, Steve, what did you do? Did you multiply them? Did you share them? Or were you scared? Were you scared to speak my truth? Or did you step into it boldly? Because the Lord is your rock. He trains your hands for battle and your fingers for war. It was there that I no longer needed the approval of my father, because I knew that my heavenly father had everything that I needed. And it was at that point that I decided to live the rest of my life for the next 60 years for an audience of one. There's just one person that's sitting in that stadium and he's watching that little boy named Steve. And he's looking at how broken he is. And he's looking at his heart wants to love. His heart wants to be loved. Because of the things that happened to him and the addictions that he picked up to cope with that thing, that he's unlovable. But I'm here to tell you right now that God loves you, that God has a plan for you. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you have a Super Bowl. He has a plan for you. He has a mission for you. IB, will you come up here, man? It was about a year ago. I was hosting an event and we were talking about God because God had lit me on fire, right? It was a secular event. It was about mindset, disciplines, Wim Hof breathing, peak performance. And I invited a lot of people to come live in a house with me for 3 days. And one of those guys at the end of that said, man, you guys talk about, and IV was there with me. He said, you guys talk about this Jesus. I want some of that, man. I panicked. And I went and found somebody that was stronger than me in faith. And I borrowed some of his. And I said, let's talk to Chris Peterson. Would you help me? And so I'm asking Ivy to come up here right now, because once he taught me how to do that, at least 100 times, I've offered the opportunity for people to receive Jesus, to get that radical healing that we need, because we're all that little boy. There are the hearts and the sons of God are in this space and they're broken right now. And I'm praying and believing, Holy Spirit, that you're just gonna renew them. You're gonna renew them right now in this space.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Steve Weatherford Show. If you love what you heard today and you believe that God has a calling on your life, I want you to do something for me. I want you to share this episode with your friends and your family. And I want you to also make sure that you're following me on social media at Weatherford5 for a behind-the-scenes look at my life, my family, and my work. And remember, champion, greatness is in you because greatness made you. I'll see you next time.